Chapter 15. I awoke the next morning still buzzing with murderous hunger. I'd explained everything to Ash when I returned last night, and now she was all caught up with the information Sevilia gave me, but also about the werewolves. We both decided the deal I'd made with the pack was the right call, especially when it came to getting a vessel out of the port of Rengfree. I'd need to think about what to do with the mining organization, but if leaving the city meant we'd all be untraceable by the Dark King's minions, then it wasn't an option I wasn't going to pass up. I'd make sure the imps and Bennett were safe and secure, but the same also applied to myself, Sevilia, and Ash. My thoughts came to a halt when my huntress herself walked into the office. We just received another supply of food from Gior, and Ash said she wanted to make something for me. My demon goddess placed a wooden board covered in food on the desk, then stole an apple from the pile, and sat down in her favorite chair. There looked to be at least half the food from Gior displayed neatly on the board, but it looked so fresh and delicious that I wasted no time in shoveling some into my mouth.
I may have gone a little overboard.
Ash grinned at me from across the desk. She looked so pleased with her creation, and she had every right to be. I think it looks amazing, I praised, and threw another chunk of cheese into my mouth. Ash smirked with pride as she hauled a sack of pieces closer to herself and propped it in her lap.
Oh, fuck.
She grinned.
There has to be a pretty amount of pieces in here.
Ash kicked her feet over one arm of the chair and rested her back against the other arm. She looked so relaxed and comfortable, and the smile on her face increased as she opened up the sack and brought out a handful of gold coins. I handed Ash an empty sack so she could get to counting, and whenever she was done going through a handful, she'd pour the pieces into the empty sack and then take some more coins from the pile. She was so at ease among our riches that she even closed her eyes at one point just to bask in the morning sunlight that poured in through the windows, and her silver-blue hair hung free over the arm of the chair while the beams of light made her black silk dress glisten. Ash had visited the elf's dress shop when I was at Pixie Lane last night. She'd bought two dresses, and the elf was started making a couple more for her as well. But according to the retelling Ash gave me, the elf already knew why the other dresses had been destroyed. She'd even witnessed a small part of our fight against the hellhounds before she got scared and ran for home. And I wondered what the pretty little elf thought of our more violent sides.
That's 400 already,
Ash informed me a moment later. Is there more to count?
Fuck yeah, like another 3 or 4 handfuls at least.
I nodded my approval and continued to sort through a pile of papers as Ash counted all of the pieces. I had another 2 sacks just like that in the hidden compartments, which I was sure she'd be pleased to go through as well. I had a rough estimate of the amount of pieces in each sack, but it was nice to get a more accurate count, if only to see the giddy look in Ash's eyes as she realized how very, very set up we were on the surface world.
750,
Ash announced once she'd finished with the first bag. Not bad for a day's work, I winked. My demon lover stood from her seat and handed me back the sack, and then she collapsed back into her chair again.
Do you want to visit the catacomb today?
Yeah, I think this evening would be best once the sun has set, but I'll leave that up to you to decide. Ash paused to think for a second.
I don't think it matters when we go. We know the priest won't be there today. Plus, the place is so deserted that I doubt anyone would really see us enter.
Then we'll go this afternoon. Bennett will be here shortly to discuss some sales, but then we can go after that.
Okay. I can't wait to scope that place out and get a feel of the dirty, evil vibes that coat every fucking skull.
And to find a place to hide the bodies, I added with a smirk.
Oh, that's number one on my list. To think, the priest will soon be dead, and we've potentially got our way out of here.
As long as the werewolves stick to their side of the bargain, but I think they will.
Werewolves are like the hellhounds. They're a bunch of docile puppies once someone else is in charge.
Then I can't wait to have them under my control, I grinned.
By the sound of things, they already are,
Ash replied with the same expression on her face. But there is one thing we need to consider. We want to leave the port of Rengfree, but there won't be any hell powers to gain if we go somewhere where the demons can't find us.
Oh, shit. I didn't think about that.
I know you want more hell powers as much as I do, so we need to think about a way around that. I think we should see how it goes with the priest before we make a final decision.
Yeah. Maybe we can stay for a bit longer if no one instantly accuses us of the priest's death.
Exactly. I nodded. If the residents of Rengfri head straight toward us, then we'll go. But if not, we can wait around a bit and maybe gain a few powers in that time. The next hour went by in the same fashion. I sorted through a few papers that needed to be organized for the imps, and Ash counted the other two sacks of pieces. In total, with all three sacks together, we had just under 3,000 pieces. Bennett arrived at the manor precisely on time, and he knocked on the door to announce his arrival. As the gray-haired man walked into the office, Ash stood from her chair to allow him the place to sit.
"Hi, Bennett."
Ash smiled as she passed him. "Good morning, miss," he replied politely. As soon as Bennett was settled, he handed over some more papers, which included the information on the upcoming deals. I read them over briefly to get a better idea of what was needed, and then I added them to the correct pile. I had one pile for papers that included the deals that had already happened and gone through, and another pile for the deals still to go ahead. "They're collecting this tomorrow?"
"Yes, sir," Bennett nodded.
"And the imps have been notified?"
They have. I gave them a copy before I came here."
"Excellent," I smiled. The first deal involved two crates full of orbs, and the buyer added that he wanted a varied selection of powers, but that it didn't matter if he received more of one than the other. The sale was going to go down at the forest clearing where the first load of vampires had been slaughtered. That was usually where we held our larger sales, but since the vampire attack last time, I had to make sure everything went smoothly. The papers also included the information for two more sales that were taking place the day after the first, and it included five more crates of orbs altogether. "So the first deal comes to a total of 2,000 pieces, is that information correct?"
It is, sir, yes. I ran the numbers past the imps, and they agree that that's fair for two full crates of a mixed selection."
I scanned over the other papers and located the total price on each one. "The second is worth 3,000, and the third is worth 2,000 again?"
Yes, Bennett nodded.
"Would you like me to bring all the money at the same time or in stages?" "Separately would be best. Given what happened with the vampires, I don't want to take any risks with the money or the orbs."
"Of course. I'll bring each load when I've received them."
"Good," I nodded. "And I'll assume you'll take your sword with you in case anything goes wrong?"
"Absolutely, I'll make sure it all runs smoothly this time," Bennett responded.
I trusted the middleman and the imps to take care of the deals correctly without any issues. If they promised to do something and to follow my guidelines, they always did so without an issue. Bennett wasn't the sort of man who felt comfortable carrying a weapon with him. He was an extremely fidgety man, and he became nervous very easily, so he tended to use a blue orb to help him disappear if he had to. However, if I asked him to take a sword with him, then he'd do so without argument, and he'd wield it almost like he constantly had a sword in his hand. "I cannot have anything go wrong with the deal tomorrow," I said as I pushed my chair away from my desk. "Heads will roll if it doesn't go my way."
Don't worry, sir," Bennett replied as he stood from his own seat. "You can trust me with this."
"I can trust you, but I can't trust the buyers."
"They've bought from us plenty of times before, so I don't think we have an issue, but I'll make sure it goes the way we want it," he said as he moved toward the door.
"That's what I like to hear," I smirked. The man nodded his head and then left the room. I could hear Bennett's footsteps echo as he made his way through the corridor and down the stairs. I had to prepare myself in case things didn't go to plan, particularly with the added pressure of the incubi lurking around every corner. If they hadn't heard about the deaths of the vampires, they soon would, and we'd be their first target. Even though the thought of someone stealing the orbs or the money angered me, there was also a hint of excitement mixed in with it. If a buyer double-crossed us or tried to overpower my subordinates in any way, I'd have the biggest smile on my face as I drove the tip of my sword through their chests. I could almost smell the blood that would seep from their wounds, and I could see the red puddles pool at my victim's feet. With these exhilarating thoughts filtering through my mind, I left the office, locked the door behind me, and then headed to the bedroom. Ash had been in the middle of trying on her new dresses from the elf, and she was in the process of tying up the back of a pale gray dress. The dress had darker gray stitching around the corset and dark gray ribbons that crisscrossed down the back.
"Did everything go okay?"
she asked, with the delicate ribbon in each hand. "Another 7,000 pieces are coming our way this week," I grinned.
7,000? Shit. We'll soon need a bigger home just to house it all.
But imagine what the priest has hidden in his estate.
Fuck. Maybe the trolls had the right idea to have their stash hidden in a shack.
Covering their shack in silver was a smart move, but it didn't stop us from getting to it.
But we're smarter than a group of fucking trolls. We could use another vanishing hut like the imps have.
I knew Ash was only joking about finding a place for the money to sit, because we had more than enough room to house it all. But she did make a good point. We'd have to get the priest's money here somehow, and we had to do it in a way so as not to cause suspicion from others around us. I'd think of a way to get past that, but it was definitely something to keep in mind.
"What do you think?"
Ash asked once she'd finished tying up the back of her dress. "You know how I feel about you wearing new dresses," I winked. She always looked incredible wearing these specially made dresses, and the fabric folded around her hips and waist perfectly. The corset enhanced Ash's breasts to a delicious degree, and her pale, soft skin tormented me in the most enjoyable way.
"I know. I just like to hear your views on things."
Ash gave me a coy smile. "In that case, I'd like nothing more than to tie you down in that little dress and fuck you until you're screaming for mercy," I said as I held her gaze. Ash blushed and let out a sinful giggle.
"That can certainly be arranged."
Once she'd finished teasing me with her new outfit, Ash attached her leather holster of throwing knives around her wrist, and then we left the house to get to work. I had my spiked cudgel slipped into my belt, but I doubted I'd need it since I was more interested in strengthening my new hell power as quickly as possible. Ravenshade sat between the Shadow Quarters and Newhall, where the church was found, so I'd seen it in passing, but I was always too preoccupied to get a decent look. It was where the priest resided in his estate, so I was also interested to see what that looked like. But I was mostly eager to get a look at this murder site Ash had scoped out for us. I hadn't killed someone in a catacomb in longer than I could remember. Ash and I crossed the Grimway and noticed the joy and exuberance that radiated through the marketplace and surrounding areas. The banshees still had the hellhound heads pierced through spikes and mounted on their wall, but the rotten stench was overpowered by the smell of the fire a white witch had created near the banshee's home. Some elves smoked their pipes and let off colorful images made from the smoke, and a few black fairies danced around in the air to the music that played nearby. One fairy had a potion bottle in hand, and she drank from it greedily. It looked as though the girls were in for a fun day of drinking and causing mischief. It appeared as if the afternoon sun had caused the same playfulness to take over the Shadow Quarters, too. We exited the village and followed the road to the western quarters of Rengfree. Groups of trees surrounded the road on either side, and the occasional carriage bustled past, but we kept our heads down, and the driver steered his horses past without a second glance. Ash retraced her steps from the day before, and I followed her through the small collection of trees that led out onto a small street lined with an array of buildings. The trees had hidden the buildings from view of the road, and it gave it a more closed-off feeling. Like this area really didn't want to be mistaken for being a part of the Shadow Quarters. Ravens shrouded the sky as we approached, and a few of the large black birds had perched on the tops of the buildings. They let out shrieking squawks to anything and everything that caught their attention, and they appeared to be the only animals that weren't instantly terrified of our presence.
"This is the road I took when I followed Sevelia's carriage the first time,"
Ash announced as we passed the houses.
She gets taken up here around the corner and straight into the estate.
Is the priest's estate in the middle of the village? I asked to get a better idea of the map in my head.
Not really. I'd say this side is his territory.
Ash shrugged.
The catacombs are at the opposite end from where we are now.
Two humans left their homes and wandered up the street in front of us. From the back, it almost looked like we all wore identical outfits. The woman had a black dress, somewhat like Ash's, except it sat below her knees. And the man had on a pair of black dress pants, a white shirt, and a red jacket had been looped over one arm. I wasn't sure if all the residents in this village wore the same clothing, but I got the sense that the people in Ravenshade had way more money than those in the Shadow Quarters. The streets and houses continued to twist and turn throughout the village, and like Ash had once described, the buildings were all tall, dark, and gloomy. I could imagine what this village looked like when the weather turned bad, and I pictured the dark clouds nestled over the rooftops and the rainstorms that turned the streets into shallow lakes. The ravens continued to squawk, and more carriages rattled past. But there wasn't any odd music or ritual dances taking place in this part of the city.
If we follow this street here, we'll come across the estate,
Ash explained, and pointed to a new street on the right.
But we need to keep going this way.
Lead the way, my love, I grinned. I sent a quick look in the direction Ash pointed, but the nearby buildings hid the priest's estate from view. I couldn't help but wonder what Sevelia was up to at this exact moment. Part of me hoped she wasn't being taken on a walk by the creepy assholes from yesterday, but the other half of me hoped she had them enchanted and unconscious, just like Ash had described. I followed Ash into an alley and away from the main streets until we arrived at the opposite side of Ravenshade. My huntress had said it was a more run-down area, and the buildings and residents were few and far between, and she wasn't wrong. I even noticed ravens picking away at food left out on the ground, and the food was clearly rancid. There was a faint scent of evil in the air, but this area reminded me of the slums in the Shadow Quarters. It was as if the residents had been thrown here, and now they were stuck with no means of escape. I also paid attention to our surroundings as we passed through, to get a better feel of where the murder would take place, and if I thought it was the right area for it all to go down. I had a good feeling, given the lower population, but I'd make up my mind officially when we visited the catacombs. I had to be certain people didn't live nearby, and that there wasn't a chance anyone could see the fight go down from a window, or even from the street.
Okay, it's just down here,
Ash said as we reached a tall, ancient building. The building towered high in the air, and opposite that, at the top of a large hill, was a selection of houses, but the trees in front of them seemed to curtain the houses from view. A small pathway led down from the building, where I assumed I'd find the entrance to the catacombs. A small grassy hill hid the path from view, and, from the secrecy of it all, I was almost certain this was the right place to attack. "And where did you say you were hiding?"
"Just up there,"
Ash pointed behind me. I turned on my foot and eyed the trees behind us. From her viewpoint and where the trees were in relation to the large building, I managed to make a mental idea of what she would have seen. "Okay," I mumbled as I thought it through once more. "And you said the carriage didn't stick around?"
"No, he went down that way,"
she pointed further down the street we were on.
"But then he came back when the deal was done."
"Shall we assume the driver leaves every time?"
"Possibly,"
Ash shrugged.
"But even if he didn't, I'm sure there would be a way around him being an issue."
I didn't particularly want to kill an innocent man for no reason, and that would only create more bodies to dispose of. But I could get Sevelia to enchant him if we had to. I couldn't see any downsides to murdering the priest at the catacombs, and there were certainly enough places for us to hide if we needed to. But there was one issue that made itself known. It wasn't big, and we could work our way around it, but it was something to consider. "Have you noticed how close we are to Newhall here?" Ash peered around the area with a frown.
"No, I guess I didn't."
"You realize we're only about 4 streets away from the southern quarters of Newhall, where the Blessed reside. Those men carry the senses of the angels, and you know they are extremely effective hunters.
Fuck, I didn't think about that. We'll just have to make sure we don't cause a scene and that no one comes across the bodies.
I think it'll be okay, but like you said, we can't make a scene.
I'll be on my best behavior.
Ash smirked. Let's check out these catacombs.
Yes, let's go.
I let my huntress lead the way, and I followed on behind as she walked down the footpath that brought us down a hill. The path wasn't too long, but it took us right to the opening of the catacombs. A large circular entryway had been created in the hillside beneath the tall building, and there was a rusty, wrought iron gate with a busted lock on it. That was where we came across our first issue. I could see straight through the gates and into the tunnels, which meant people on the other side would also see anyone approaching. "Would they see us arrive?" I asked aloud as we stopped outside the entrance. Ash took a step back and peered up the grassy hill, and her silver eyebrows furrowed as she thought.
"We could jump. They'd see us walking down the path, but they might not notice if we stood out of sight on the top of the mound above the gate."
"Yeah, perfect," I nodded. "Either that or I use a blue orb to make a sudden arrival, and then you and Sevelia join on behind."
"I feel confident with this new plan. It's also going to be much darker than it is right now, which gives us an added cloak to hide under."
Once that had been discussed, we took our first steps inside the catacombs. The walls were lined with human skulls, and some looked much fresher than others. The tunnels were dark and cold, and the only light came from the pink and purple glow of our eyes. I noticed a few lanterns had been attached to the walls, but the candles inside weren't lit. The catacombs looked like a maze, with different entrances and new tunnels that fed off each other. Whenever I thought I reached the back wall, I noticed another entrance, and the journey continued. Every new tunnel held a sign of the church mounted to the walls, and some were large and stretched from floor to ceiling, whereas others were only slightly larger than a skull. I also noticed two tunnels that had dugouts at the bottom. The spaces looked big enough to fit a coffin, which, going by the evil scent in the air, only added to my excitement. These catacombs were clearly being used for some shady business, and that made killing the elves and the priest even more deserved. My mouth salivated at the thought of it.
"Well, at least no one will hear the screams."
Ash let out a wicked laugh, which echoed around the enclosed space.
"Oh, in that case, maybe they will."
I laughed along with her, and the two noises together were sure to be heard from outside the gates. The area is pretty deserted, and from what I've noticed, the poor in this world rarely come around when they hear screams. They're more likely to hide inside and pretend they haven't noticed a damn thing. So as long as the whales don't reach the southern quarters, we should be all right.
Fucking whales. I love to hear them scream as I tear my talons through them.
Or when I burn them alive. I'm thinking my new flames may solve all our corpse issues from now on. Ash's pink eyes lit up.
"Ooh, are we conducting our own cremations now?"
It's hard to pin anything on anyone with only a pile of ash laying around. With the excitement in the air, Ash and I began the walk back through the tunnels toward the entrance. The only thing we needed to organize was a timeline of events, and the timetable that both the priest and Sevelia followed. If anyone noticed the witch was missing, it would halt the plan before we even started it. "So, he came here earlier the other day, but Sevelia said that's extremely uncommon, right?" I asked as we walked through the iron gates.
"Yeah, apparently it's never happened."
Ash shrugged. "Just to make sure he doesn't fuck off without us, we'll get to the estate earlier tomorrow and hide out before he leaves to come here." We climbed up the small hill and began the walk back to the Grimway.
"And you definitely want to do it tomorrow? The priest would be back in 3 more days from then anyway. It gives us more time to plan."
"No, I want it done as soon as possible. That motherfucker has taken far more from me than I ever wanted to give him. So I'm not giving him another 3 days to breathe. We'll kill him tomorrow and be done with it." All of the money he had in his estate, the coins I gave him, and the pieces Sevelia took from Pixie Lane were all going to come back to me. I couldn't wait to sit in my office with the chests of pieces beside me and my two women waiting for me in my bed.
My only concerns are the High Elves and how you'll pull that off.
Ash broke me from my thoughts.
I haven't encountered one before, but I've heard of their powers.
I'm not too worried.
Why?
Ash sent me a curious grin. Because we won't just have our hell powers, I smirked. We have the orbs, and we'll pick up Sevelia right before we head this way. Those pointy-eared fucks may have elite powers, but they're still mortal. Do you really think they stand a chance of living once the three of us corner their asses? Ash's little grin twisted with delight, and her devious chuckle echoed around the deserted lane as ravens scattered into the air. Then she looped her arm in mine, and her pink eyes gleamed as she gazed up at me with adoration.
I'm already starving for some holy bloodshed, Master.
The beautiful fiend purred. Better sharpen your claws, then. We're going hunting with a red witch tomorrow night.